Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I would like to welcome Grady Kessler and Mike Sirks from Soda Pants to the stage to sing their song that they made for Conan.
Hello? Test.
How is everyone doing tonight? Pretty good, pretty good. Who's excited to see Conan O'Brien? Conan is also very excited to see you all. So pretty cool stuff there. So we're from the band Soda Pants. We're on Facebook, short plug, find us. But we wrote a little something for Conan, so we hope that you all like it too.
Coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, from the band Soda Pants, find us on Facebook. So, we have a very special guest with us here tonight to help us celebrate a very special event. Ladies and gentlemen, Conan O'Brien and Six College have both celebrated their birthdays this week. Woo! I was wondering if you could help us sing a little bit of a happy birthday to Conan O'Brien and Coco College.
Happy birthday.
That's why we keep you around. Alrighty, so. Oh yeah, nice, nice. Me too, all good. Alrighty, so I'm gonna turn the time over to our Assistant Vice Chancellor of Alumni Affairs, Armin Afzahi.
How's everybody doing? I think we should give Mike and Grady another round of applause for that incredible. I also heard they got to jam with Conan backstage a little bit. You never know when you're going to be discovered, guys. I'm here to actually present Conan a special gift from our alumni community. We have over 140,000 alumni. Some of you are here tonight, right? So, one of the things we decided to give Conan, and I know he's going to take these home and treasure them, is if you guys saw, along with millions of other people, the Dalai Lama was here this past week. That's right. And he brought the visor back, didn't he? So, we're giving him the very visor, maybe, for him to have. So, I'm going to put it on his chair. I don't know if it'll make the hair or not, but we'll leave that for him. Second thing is, we thought long and hard about what would he treasure about his visit to UC San Diego. And we thought, I think it's going to be up there. You know, the students love the sun god, but you know what? The alumni love the sun god too, right? Yeah, lots of memories. So on this great occasion, the sun god even got all excited and did up his or her hair. And this is the special gift that we will present him when he gets up here. So, it's great to be with you. Congratulations on your 10th year anniversary. This has been a great week for UC San Diego. And enjoy the show tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Armin. And now I would like to bring to the stage here. Come up here. Come here. Look at this. Look at this guy.
Thank you so much, everybody. It's a wonderful thing that Conan O'Brien has come to Six College tonight. So, first of all, as Adrian just said, my name is Dan Donahue, and I became the provost of this wonderful Six College just in January of this year. Early on, I heard this rumor, which I didn't really believe, that Conan O'Brien might be willing to come here to help us celebrate our 10th anniversary. I mean, was this possible? But if it was true, what a great opportunity to bring together our entire Six College community at UC San Diego for one evening to celebrate our past as well as our future. So we've had many accomplishments during our 10 years of Six College, but there's one thing we have not managed to do, and that is to find a permanent name for the college, although we hope to do so in the next year or two. But in the meantime, we have a college with no name on one hand. And on the other hand, we have, and I've actually seen him, he's backstage there, we have Conan O'Brien. And so what a wonderful opportunity to give ourselves the 10th birthday present and rename our college, if only for a day. Therefore, on April 20th of this year, and every year in perpetuity for a 24-hour period? Well, hang on a second. Here we have a proclamation, and it's signed by all the staff and many of the faculty of SIS College, and we're going to present this to Conan after the event. And let me briefly read this proclamation while Adrian displays it for you. Whereas SIS College at UC San Diego has been founded on the fundamentals of culture, art, and technology, which spells CAT, as you all know, your favorite, most beloved courses, and on cultivating dynamic and engaged students of the 21st century. And whereas, in this effort to become ever more innovative, interconnected, and aware, Conan O'Brien is really the embodiment, the personification of our six college ideals. And whereas, we have added orange in addition to teal as our college colors. And whereas, rivaling the importance of Punxsutawney Phil and Groundhog Day, and remembering the fact that our res halls are named Camp Snoopy. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by me, Provost of SIS College, on this, the 20th day of April 2012, that SIS College shall be Conan O'Brien College for a day. Let's hear it for Conan O'Brien.
Got incredible BO. This is all off the record. Now, it is an incredible honor to have SIS College named after me for just this one day. And I do want to just say hello to everyone from SIS College. I know we have some other people here. Earl Warren, is Earl Warren here? John Mayer. John Muir?
Moore?
I hear you guys are stoners. That's the word on you guys. That's the word. That's the word. You can't say that about Eleanor Roosevelt. Ravel, is Ravel here? It's an honor to meet all of you. I know that I'm quite sickly looking in person. Why is that funny? That's a joke. I was told, hey man, you're going to San Diego. It's going to be incredible. It's like Northern Ireland here. Was that me? Did it change the second I got here? It's 44 degrees outside. There's a fog settling in. I had the pleasure of meeting a lot of you today. Some of you hugged me for a long time. You know who you are. There were some ladies and two guys that wouldn't let go. But I'm here to tell you that I will do what it takes for this school. I will do what it takes. I will do anything it takes to be a good founding member of Conan O'Brien College. I will fight your strongest man. Have him stand up. Where's your strongest man? I will fight him. Wait. Oh my God. No. Stand up! I've never had to fight a guy who's wearing a t-shirt that says Sixth Loves Coco. All the fear is leaving my body. When you stood up, I'm like, that's a tough guy. That guy looks like he works out. Oh, he loves Coco. We'll fight later, all right? All right. He's still standing. He wants to do this. You really want to do this, don't you? All right, now I'm here for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't come here to fight you. I came to love you. I came to share some of my expertise. I've been through a little bit in my life. I've been through some experiences. And one of my favorite things is talking to young people. And the people I've met here today, you are interested, you're curious, you're fascinating, and I'm told that you have questions. And what I really want to do is have a dialogue tonight. I want you guys to ask me. You can ask me anything you want. If you wish to touch me, you may. Can rub any part of my body. It's pretty much, I can't feel anything at this point. You get to a certain age where it just goes. But I'm here to answer your questions, and I don't know what the format is. Is there going to be a moderator? Little's been explained to me. What's that? Oh, the moderator's coming. What are you doing? What kind of school is this? Anyway, I thought I'd take your questions and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about media. We'll talk about media in the 21st century. We'll talk about my life, the women I've been with, the stars I've seen naked. And I'll pretty much tell you the honest to God's truth. I'll tell you everything I know. So you just ask away, and I believe Ms. Losh now is going to answer. She's going to ask the questions, is that right? You're not going to answer. Oh, the students asked the questions.
So there are two microphones in the hall, and we also have a box of questions for Conan that should magically appear at this point.
A box of questions?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Ah! Yeah. Oh,
okay, these are questions for me.
Yes.
All right. Did you just find these, or are these asked by the student body? These aren't like, where it's like Craigslist. Where can I get a Toyota? Looking for a futon, willing to spend up to $60.
This is a sad one. You want to start with a sad one?
Yes.
All right. With all of your experience and education, what is the best way to approach a hard economy for a job?
I came here to have fun? What the hell is this? I wish I had the magic answer. I do not. I'll give anybody a job who wants one. You name the salary. For what? Oh, okay. Look, pal. Yes, that is a tough question. I didn't think I'd be getting questions like that, but I'll do my best to answer it. I've been incredibly fortunate in my life. I did not get into my line of work to make money. I didn't care actually how much money I made. I got into my line of work because I was really passionate about it. And that actually ended up turning into a job. And although I can't tell my bosses this, I do it for nothing. I really love doing my job. And so I believe that you start by doing anything you can to find something that you enjoy doing. And I know that that sounds like an easy thing to say, but long before I ever got a writing job in television or a performing job in television, I did whatever it took. I would get coffee as a runner on the first Comic Relief, which was a special. My job was to get coffee for Estelle Getty from the Golden Girls. Yeah, so imagine this guy running around getting coffee for Estelle Getty. That is what I did. And I didn't care. I was near show business. I knew that somehow, if I worked hard and I kept my eyes and ears open, so go to where they're doing what you're passionate about, and if you have to, reheat pound cake. If you have to, specifically, reheat pound cake. Make coffee. Don't have an attitude. Do whatever it takes. But get the job done, and if you work hard and you show that you have ability, you end up moving up the ladder. It just happens. Now let's hope that the next question is more joyous.
Okay. Please line up at the two microphones in the center. We have another question. This is from David Todd, who is a third-year poli-sci major from Camarillo, California.
Okay, way too much information. It's already out of my head. I don't know what he does. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Who is it? I know David Todd, yeah. From Camarillo, yeah. Is David Todd ever... Wait, do you guys know David Todd? Oh, you are David Todd. Okay.
He wants to
He wants to be acknowledged.
He wants to know if you need a body double, is the question.
What's that?
If you need a body double.
Well, sadly, when you have these proportions, there is no body double. Find another 6'5" guy with my hair whose legs begin up here. I have the weirdest proportioned body in the world, and I hate to disappoint you ladies. But were I to strip nude, and I will if you stick around for the whole show. No, it's not pretty. It's a shade of white you've never seen. It's a shade of white that doesn't exist in San Diego. It's a bluish white, a carp belly white. My belly button is like around here. I'm touching my belly button right now. When I hitch up my pants to their proper adjusted height and walk around, it's a freak show. So there's no finding a body double. NASA's building a robot, but it's exploded 4 times. It's a mess. So no, I do not have a body double. I'd love a body double, but I pity the person who would actually get the job. Next question, and don't be shy.
How about one of the ones from the microphone?
Hi, Conan, I'm Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl, how are you?
I'm good. I really love your hair, so I had a question about it.
Yes.
So it's really a big part of your celebrity status, your hair. So is there some special maintenance that goes into keeping it perfect and orange?
It's a very personal question. But I'm going to answer it. This hair has been with me since I was a child. And when I was like in the 5th grade, I started combing it up into this wave, and I don't know why. This hair has not been in style since I've been alive. I know a lot of you are young, and you think, okay, maybe that was the style in like the late 60s. This was never the style. I don't know why I did this, but I combed it up this way, and then over the years I've perfected various ways to maintain its integrity. There's a bathroom spackling compound in here, mayonnaise. I bake this in a kiln every afternoon for 2 hours. I crush very specific red berries that are found in South Africa to create this color. This is the product of about 65 people working very hard to create a Belgian French pastry on top of a grown man's head. I'm glad you find it attractive. Would you like to touch it? Step forward. Step forward. Get in there. And tell them what it's soft and really orange. Did your soul leave your body when you touched it? See, did you see your light when you touched it?
Very much.
Did you see the future?
No.
Everyone else sees the future.
We have another question.
I'm looking at you. You can't just do that to a guy's hair and then walk away. Yes, next question.
All right, this is an alumni question.
Oh, alumni. Boring.
Did I say that?
Yes, this Conan character.
All right.
Which one is he?
What is your favorite character / sketch from any of your shows?
Oh. Well, there have been different ones from The Simpsons. I think the monorail episode that I worked on. Favorite. From my different shows, it's really hard to say. I did a baseball remote once where I played 19th century baseball with a mustache on. But that, I mean, there have been too many of those little weird things that I've liked doing over the years. Years and years ago on Saturday Night Live, I did a sketch called Moleculo, the Molecular Man. It was really weird and stupid and fun. And my favorite things are the ones that borderline don't make sense and are just really weird and left brain. Those are my favorite things. So hard to say. There's been a lot of weirdness over the years and I can't remember any of it.
Let's take another question from one of the dark shades in the center of the audience.
Yeah, it's really creepy. We can't see who you are. So are you, I don't know if you're male, female. Oh, you look like a guy.
A little bit of both. It's cool. My name's David.
What's your name, sir?
David. I'm an alum from Warren.
What's that?
My name's David. I'm an alumni from Warren.
I can't hear.
He says his name is David?
Yes, thank you for translating.
He's an alumni from Warren?
He's an alumni from Warren. From here, because of the acoustics, I heard Alamama. That was on the wrong. And I was like, this is an incredibly multicultural school. Welcome to our country.
We've got skill.
I bow to you. I hope our customs are not strange. Yeah, you're an alumni from Warren. And what do you do now, sir?
I work at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography.
Ah, very good. I hope this question touches on our shared expertise in marine life. And the answer is baleen, I believe.
That was what
you were going to ask, right?
It'll touch something. So in the past couple of decades, you've interviewed Matt, talked with several different people on different levels completely. Who are the most attractive people you've interviewed, men and women?
Like physically attractive? Just say physically. It's more interesting. That's what everyone... If you say, like, no, whose soul, everyone's going to tune out. If you say, who is just so freaking hot, everyone's on the edge of their seat.
How about only physically and only for a three-hour period? And you can't say...
What do you mean only for a three-hour period? Were they disfigured after the interview?
Well, I mean,
was there an accident of some kind? What?
Not if certain... No accident.
What does the 3 hours mean? Is the 3 hours the amount of time I get to be
okay,
with them?
Okay, you've gotten dirty.
Because I can't do 3 hours.
20 minutes.
20 what?
Maybe 20 minutes.
Okay. This is incredible.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, thank you. This is better than the save the economy question, for sure.
What do we do? I don't know, but I'll tell you who's got a killer ass.
Wow, that's a good question. Wow, I have to say, a bunch of years ago when I first saw Angelina Jolie in person. Don't boo! Who boos Angelina Jolie? Okay, whatever. All right, she got your man. I'm sorry. I'll scratch that bitch's eyes out. In person, she's like from another planet. She's like an alien. She's so beautiful that the air around her turns to this sort of granulated molecule. That makes no sense, but it's true. That's a very attractive
woman. That makes sense.
Yeah. And Andy Richter might be the best-looking man I've ever met. He's just got those Nordic features. That's the best I can do. If those two had a baby, that's some baby. That's all I'm saying.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Conan. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, this is a question from Candace Yang, who's Candace a junior Yang. In chemical engineering / cog sci. No, it's from two people, Alex and Candace.
She started as one, but she made herself two.
Well, she's
using the molecular energizer.
And they want to know, what's the craziest thing you did in college?
Well, you can answer this. Wow.
Maybe?
Yeah, I thought it would be a really funny prank to steal all the newspapers from the school. You know, there was a rivalry. I ran the college humor magazine, The Lampoon, and we were wise asses, and then there was the serious newspaper that got the news out, and they're all going to go and have important careers. And we were all alcoholics, and so not me. I was, you know, had other problems. But anyway, I thought it'd be really funny if, when they came out with their big important issue, we went and we stole it. So we actually got a bunch of us got dressed up as commandos, broke into the Harvard Crimson late at night. It was not late at night, it was about 4 a.m, and the papers had just been delivered, but no one was there yet. We knew the exact time when the papers would be delivered to the office from the printing machines, but were not yet to be picked up and delivered to everybody, and we stole them. And I thought, oh, that's funny. Now they'll do a funny prank to us. But they didn't do a funny prank to us. They called the police. And they didn't call the Harvard police, the campus police, who are the nice police, who say, you should get back the newspaper. That'd be a good idea. You gonna do it? That's a good idea. They didn't call those police. They called the Cambridge police. The Cambridge police are the police that beat your head in, if they want to. So I'm thinking I'm really funny college guy, and I'm laughing in our little Lampoon building, and the doorbell rings, and I open the door, and there's two policemen there, and they have guns. Not drawn. Mine was drawn. I carried a gun. But anyway, they were like, did you take newspapers? And I was like, well, I may have and I may not have. That's the whimsical world of college humor. Maybe I did and maybe I didn't. As Thoreau once said, you have the right to remain silent. And they started reading me my rights and they put handcuffs on me. I have never squealed faster in my life. I not only told them where the newspapers were, but I told them everything that I had done. It was indecent since I was a child. So yeah, that was probably the weirdest, stupidest thing I did when I was in college. Yay! Was it worth it? No! Was it worth it? No, it wasn't worth it. It was horrifying. I messed myself. Yes, next question.
Sorry, I just got a text, and I feel like it's about a question.
What's that? You got a what?
Okay, oh, never mind. Okay, I wanted to know
Wait,
about...
someone texted you as they saw you approach the microphone?
Yeah.
This is a casual place, man. The whole vibe here.
I don't know if I want to ask this.
She's about to talk in front of 5,000 people. Think I'll text her.
My question was, I want to know about your most embarrassing date story.
All right. Wow, there's a lot of those. It's really hard to pick one. That's a really good one. I think I did not go to my high school prom. I bailed on the prom because it's a long story, but I bailed on the prom and then immediately regretted it and wanted to ask this girl. But I was friends with some other people that said, oh, prom. Who goes to the prom? We need to go to the prom. Because no one asked them and no one would go with them. Because I hung out with, you know, it was a bad group that I hung out with. They're like, we don't need the prom. Who needs the prom? And I was like, yeah, I don't need the prom. And then this girl that I liked said, you think you might go to the prom? I was like, nah, who needs the prom? And then it was clear that she would have gone to the prom with me, okay? So I don't go to the prom, and it gets worse. That's my Mayor Quimby. So my dad, I don't go to the prom that night, and he said that I had to plant these bushes for him. And he was like, and I hadn't done it, and he was like, you gotta get on that, man! I'm like, all right, I'll do it. Someday I'll have my own show, and then I'll show you. And he was like, what was that? And he was like, nothing. So I went in the backyard, and we didn't have enough fertilizer, so I got in my dad's crappy 1970 Pontiac. I drove to the gardening supply store. I loaded a bunch of fertilizer in the back, and the fertilizer dust was all over me. I'm driving back. I get to an intersection. A prom limo pulls up next to me, and the window lowers, and it's Jimi Hennessy and the girl who wanted to go to the prom with me, and I'm covered in horse manure dust. And I gave one of those like weak smiles, and it was like the coolest prom limo you've ever seen. You know, Snoop Dogg was in there, and there was a disco ball, and fireworks were going off, and they were splitting the atom and drinking, and then the window went back up and they took off, and I went home and finished planting some poinsettias that have since died. There's your story for you. Now I'm depressed. Between the economy and that question, I don't think I can take too much here. I love you too, sir. Again, always the dudes. It's too late. I'm with him and him.
This is a question from Caitlin Frobozy.
Caitlin Frobozy.
Okay, in pharmacological chemistry.
Oh, you can tell she's a pharmacological student.
And she wants to know, if the world was taken over by zombies, what would be your strategy to survive?
Finally, a question that makes sense to me. That's why I'm here. Thank you, Caitlin.
What about the economy? What do you think is the best strategy for the future?
That's not why I'm here. Killing zombies is why I'm here. Well, I'll get to that. I think the best thing to do would be to go to a place that has a big supply of food. It's in a fairly remote location. I'd head to the Denver airport. There's a lot of food there. It feeds a lot of people. It's fairly remote. And I'd make sure that I had a few friends with me and we had a lot of shotguns. So I'd rob a sporting goods store on the way. And I'd hole up at an airport. Plus, they have those carts. Zombies move pretty slowly. You can get in one and drive away if you get in trouble. Plus, zombies will be confused by that conveyor belt. They'll get on it, and it's going the wrong way. They'll spend hours and hours thinking they're coming after you, and they're not. Meanwhile, yeah. There you go. Meanwhile, I'm in a Cinnabon stuffing my face. So that's the plan. Are we all in on it? When the zombies come, we all meet at Denver Airport. Just do it.
All right. We should ask another question from the dark people out there.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Conan. Hi. I'm one of those girls who was hugging you earlier.
And yes! I remember you.
Good to see you again. I was wondering if you could do the invisible... Is that an invocation?
I'm sorry. That's so inappropriate. Don't act like this when you get into the real world. I'm way too old to be talking to women and going... But I do it, and it's never worked for me. What would you want?
So my question was, it's actually not a question, it's a request.
Yes.
Can you do the invisible hip string?
It's called the string dance, yeah. Cut the string. That's important. Anytime.
All right, here's a question from John.
She's headed this way. What's happening? Security. Right. Security, find out her name, yes.
John is a digital art major. He says his year is 1 year, which I don't know what it even means.
I am 1 year. That sounds so profound.
And he writes, if you couldn't perform, what would be your second career?
Wow. I guess writing, just writing. I do.
You're a college professor, you don't think that's an awesome career?
I think that is performing, in a way. You're in front of them. And I mean that as a compliment. Professors are in front of people, they're in the zone, they gotta think on their feet. So I don't know, I think I would. Right, but I do love to be out in front of people. So some sort of dancer, I suppose. Sort of exotic dancer. That's so low. I'm up here and you're like, dance for us! Dance about, clown! Bring Conan O'Brien. You're the most entitled people. Bring Conan O'Brien to us. And then he will dance for our music. I'll do it later.
How about this gentleman here?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Fabulous. So I have a two-part question. The first is kind of a serious one. The second's also a request. The first is...
So you're giving yourselves two questions.
Yeah, it's the same question.
I've got nine questions.
Two parts.
That's okay. That's fine. I'm cool. Why are you hunched over like...
Is it because the microphone is short?
You stand up like a man. There you go.
Thank you.
You're going to notice. Look, already your personality's changed.
It changed.
A minute ago, you're like, hey, two questions. Well, it's three, but well, if I could only... Now you're standing up and you're like, hey, O'Brien, shut up. Let's hear it.
All right. So what in your opinion, are maybe the best or most promising ways that you see media playing a positive role on college campuses?
No, that's a good question.
Hey, it's...
Come on, they can't all be about... Well, they should be about people's bodies, but... I think that there's a lot of people your age and who look at... people in the media, and they think of them as something else. You know, that person's up here. That person is in this more rarefied air. And I think that was something that I labored under for a long time, is I always looked at people who were in the media before I managed to break through. And I always thought that they had a special place and they had something real to say, and maybe I didn't. And then I learned over time that the best thing you can do when you actually get into a place where you are talking to more than just a handful of people and you're on television is to tell the truth and tell people exactly what you went through and let them know that you've encountered difficulties, that you're insecure about things, that you had your problems, that you continue to have your problems, that you continue to be insecure. I have many people your age that look at me and they tend to think, okay, you've been doing this for almost 20 years and you sort of made it and you hit the lottery and you're done. And they don't understand that every day that I go out and do a show is a struggle. And when something doesn't work, I feel the same pain I did when I was 15 or 14 or 13. And my point is, I really do think the best way that adults in media can provide a service to younger people is to be honest with them and say, yeah, I'm here. Here's the 15 ways I screwed up. Here's the 35 things I did right. Here's the 17 things I wouldn't do again if I had the choice. Here's what I've learned. I'm still figuring it out. I'll never get it perfect. And I tell almost every young person who works for me when they go to leave, because I've mistreated them, when they go to move on, when their internship's up or whatever, and they come to say goodbye to me, I tell them, I hope you had a good time. I hope you learned something by watching at rehearsal how much we struggle and how difficult it is and how sometimes I really get down because I don't think we have it that day and it's not coming together. I hope that you learned something, and I hope that someday when you're on top, you'll think of me and like give me a bit part or something, hire me, and have a bit of a humble attitude about it. And I think that's the way that most, I think there's a celebrity culture that we have now where a lot of people get there and they kind of act like they are the chosen ones. And I think that does a real disservice to people. I think reality shows, the one, and there's people that really have, a lot of people who have no craft, they put no effort into it. Some of those people are really talented, and then some of those shows, as you know, are just people with addiction problems and behavior problems, misbehaving in front of the camera, and then they get paid a lot of money, and I think, frankly, that that's fantastic. I encourage you all to, but I really try and get into the Jersey Shore, But that's my main answer is to be truthful to young people about how difficult it is and how, for me, not that much has changed since I was in college or high school. I have good days, I have bad days, I have insecurities, all that stuff. My skin's a little better, but other than that, nothing's changed.
You're looking great. But,
thank you.
So part of the looking great then is that your hair has the wave always from one side. Have you ever gone the other way?
Tried it once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With
bleeding out my ears.
All right. Well, maybe
just shooting out of my ears, like a nozzle.
If you could endure it, one day in the future, if you could dedicate it to us, we'd appreciate it.
Dedicate
the wave from the other side and say, "Look, I maybe look very different. It's just the wave, but I dedicate it to."
Oh, you want me to part my hair on the other side one night and dedicate it to you guys?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Remember that speech I gave you guys on entitlement a while ago? Can you cut your face some night for a... No, you know what? I'll think about it. I'll give it serious thought. If I'm going to do it for anybody, it's going to be for you.
Thank you.
All right, we have a question from Andrea M., who's a second-year student in computer science and psychology.
Okay, computer science, psychology.
She's from Long Beach.
Long Beach.
She says, from a fellow ginger.
Nice. We're going extinct, you know. We're rapidly going extinct, gingers.
Well, she wants to know, do you face discrimination as a redhead?
I'd like to say it's because I'm redheaded. But I think it's the general way I've conducted myself in life that's caused me problems. I'd love to blame it on, oh, the hair. That's why people don't take me seriously. No, I've never been discriminated against because I hated it when I was a kid. My hair was really bright, bright, bright orange, and I had freckles, and I just absolutely hated my face, just hated myself. And I felt really bad, girls. And all I wanted was someone to understand me. Now you guys know what I'm doing here now. And you admire it, frankly. But yeah, I learned to live with it.
So another question?
Yes.
The microphone?
Yeah, hi.
Dude. I love you guys. I really do. I'm not saying that. My heart beats 9 times for every one of yours. It's great.
I was kind of wondering about the... what's like the story of your hair? Why did you decide to wear it like that? Who came up with the idea?
I'm telling you, it's the same... I answered that one. I just did it.
Oh, yeah.
I know you were in another zone. Preparing.
Preparing to ask this.
Have you ever met Conan O'Brien? It's just the way I've always done it. I don't know why. Since I was shockingly little. I don't know what the problem is with me. I swear to God, I just did it. It's always been that way. I don't know what the problem is. But over the time, there's so many people in media that I can't go anywhere without. I mean, on some level, I guess it worked because
wherever I go, people are like, you're the ass with the hair, you know? And I'm like, I did it. They know me.
So we have a question from Susie Day, who's a third year in biochem.
I don't understand what's happening. You're cheering, but she's over here. So why are you guys cheering? Oh, you love Susie Day. But you won't sit with her. So I don't want to hear your excuses. You should be with your friends, but no, you had to have the good seat. That's how it works, people. That's how it works.
She wants to know your biggest fear.
My biggest fear? Wow. I don't know. Choking. I would say the craziest thing. I don't physically... it's weird. I don't physically fear things. So, I mean, my wife has noticed this. I'm kind of like, that bulldozer's out of control. I better go stand in front of it. I have like almost a stupid golden retriever kind of... I'm missing that part. I'm absolutely terrified of not making an audience happy. I mean, that's... And I think that's one of the things is that when you go towards... You subconsciously go towards what you fear most. Like, what's... I'm not a great athlete. So if I get into a touch football game and I throw a bad pass and people laugh at me, it doesn't hurt me. Because I'm like, yeah, I know. That's not what I'd do, you know? Badminton's my game. I don't... My self-esteem does not rest in that area. But for some reason, at a very young age, I decided to put all my self-esteem on making people entertained. And so the problem is, then you go out night after night, and that's your job, and you're out there, and it works more often than it doesn't. But when it doesn't, you feel like someone fired an ice pick into your gut. And it's... And I think that's what makes me try that much harder and prepare that much more. So that probably is my biggest, you know, fear that involves me, you know, that is, and that's the thing that I think probably motivates me the most. And fire. And like a boulder, a big boulder crushing me. Falling.
Oh.
Falling.
Sorry.
Right? I've got a few more. Getting stabbed.
Hi. Sorry. I was also one of the other girls that you hugged. I didn't let you go. I don't know if you remembered
earlier.
I remember
you too, yes.
Hi.
Hi.
If you could be...
Where did you say we're meeting? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. About the after party. I remember you invited us.
What? I can't hear that. And maybe that's a good thing.
If you could be the lead singer of any band...
Matthews E10?
Yeah!
Is that where the party is afterwards?
Yeah, that's
they don't seem to agree. You got a lot of other people who are like, it's not Matthew's E10.
If you could be the lead singer of any band, what band would it be?
I can't hear you. What's that?
If you could be the lead singer of any band, what band would it be?
I love hardcore psychobilly, rockabilly music. Like really cranked up, crazy, like cowboy hat, long sideburns. Played triple time, super fast. So I don't know. I love that kind of music. I love, huh?
Lady Gaga.
Yes. Lady Gaga describes what I was just saying. I would say Lady Gaga. Yeah. There you go.
And how many women have you been with?
Thinking. Not that many. No, I could never answer such a question. My religion forbids me. As soon as I figure out what that is.
This is a question from our Dean of Students,
the
fabulous Marciano Perez.
I love him. That guy's amazing.
He is amazing, actually.
He's right there.
Yeah.
How are you, pal?
He's asking.
Why didn't you just ask me the question from there? Why did you march up and hand a piece of paper? So strange. You have so much power here. You're just sitting there. I hope they read my paper.
If you could please play a song with the fabulous Mike and Grady.
What's that?
I added a word. Two words.
What's that?
I added two words. He did
fabulous. Oh, you added the fabulous. That's okay. That's fine. I don't have a guitar or anything, so. What? You know, that would be, we'll see. Why don't we see how everything goes? I played with them backstage. It was a lot of fun. But there's been no rehearsal, and these people expect top-tier entertainment, and they'll settle for nothing less.
You named your college after you.
You named your college after me for 24 hours. You'll get your song when some things change around here. You'll get a lot of things when that name changes permanently. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, now it's all just falling apart. It's like the end of Titanic, and they're like, it's falling apart.
Yes, the person there, in orange.
Huh? Hi. Are you frightened?
A little.
What's wrong with you? Are you okay?
I'm really excited to meet you.
Come on up here. Don't be... Sit here with me. What's wrong with you people? I thought you loved me. That was the greatest prank. Near your area, or there's going to be like multiple. Come up here. Oh my God. Go to UCSD, Conan. What's the worst that could happen? It's not like a girl's going to smash your face with the back of her head. How are you? How is it? Is there a mark of any kind? Is it okay? Good. Okay. I said, is there a mark of any kind? She said, no, it's perfectly white. What's wrong? Why do you hate me so? You're so sickly in person.
I know.
Let's be pals.
Thank you.
Okay, just keep my hand right here. All right, now you had to ask me something. See, it's not so bad. We're all pals here.
Well, you come back every year on April 20th just for us.
No. That's too funny to do. I'm sorry. You can appreciate that. Now, either you are all thumping your feet, or I'm bleeding into my brain now. That's what it feels like. No, it's okay. I'll recover in time. Now, you may read in the papers tomorrow that I went to sleep and didn't get up. But that's not... Yeah, it could happen. But I don't want you to feel badly. You look after my children. I know you will. No. Other celebrities. I'll be quickly replaced. Oh, thank you so much. You know what? I really do love it here, and everyone has been so gracious to me that I'd love to come back sometime. Can it be every year? I don't know about that.
You should come back every year.
Well, let's see how the whole college name thing goes. Not responsible for my actions. All right, well, it was nice meeting you. And then, the microphone's yours to keep. Yes, you can have a signature. Wow, okay. You're so unselfconscious up here. What am I? Oh, okay. I didn't know what was happening. All right. I got scared and delighted. Here we go. Bam. No problem. What's that?
Enough warmth and good feelings. We have another question from the box for you. All right. So who is the most annoying celebrity you have ever met? A question from Sarah, Adriana, and Christelle.
There's too many. I don't want to answer that one. That's the one that gets out there that causes problems. Annoying. You know what I will say? I'll tell you this, and it's not naming names, but I will tell you this, and it's true. I have like a 70-20-10 rule. 70% of the people you meet in show business are really nice, and then there's 20% that are kind of okay, and then there's 10% where life is too short, and... they're so palpably unhappy. And often those are the people that are putting out the biggest kind of, I'm really happy. And then you meet them and you see that they're just this festering hole of hate. What's that? You know, I don't know him too well, so I can't really say. But you guys are more than welcome to shout out names. Not everyone's shouting out names. But no, I would say that most people show up, they do their job, they try, they're perfectly nice, and then there's some that are starting to get high on their own supply, and then there are some that are just completely batshit crazy and insane and mean, and they need a beating.
How about another question for the microphone?
Hey, so,
what?
Okay, so this is gonna be kind of a weird question, so I'm just wondering.
That's good of you, you're the only person to preface with that.
Okay.
Other people just go for it.
So I'm a little bit nervous, but.
Don't be nervous. Well, I'm sure you've given this a lot of thought, and it's a really good question. Everyone's listening, and go.
You're pretty much like a badass person that I've known, so I'm just wondering, how would you ask a girl that you like them, and how would you get with them?
Wait, how would you... Say the question again. How would I ask a girl... If I like a girl, how would I approach her?
Yeah.
Is she here tonight?
No.
Well, dude, I could have hooked you up if she was here right now. That's how we get it done. Do you have a cell phone? You want to call her?
No.
Speak. Does she know you?
She knows me. But...
No. I don't mean she sees you outside her apartment sometimes. You got to be honest with me here. Because the law is going to get involved at some point.
Okay.
This is someone you know, who you like.
Yeah.
You just got to be honest with her. You know? Now, I'm going to preface that. You got to preface that by saying that never worked for me. But I believe you should be honest with her.
All right.
And I think if you really want to make an impression, her phone rings. Conan O'Brien's on the other end. That's up to you. You don't have to do that now with all these people watching. I understand that's awkward. But if you want to find me after the show, I'll do it, you know? Maybe that would make things worse.
Okay.
Or maybe she and I would start seeing each other. Which is usually how these calls go.
And the last part of this question is...
The last part.
Yeah, I'm also looking for, like, so...
Can you cut some of her hair and bring it to me? You're a monster! I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have a resume for my work, so I'm sorry if I could become an intern.
That takes balls. I like it. Bring it forward. What's this for? Let me read this. No, you're through. You didn't bring a resume. Let's see. Special skills. Stalking. I've got my eye on you. Is it Basil or Basil? Basil. Does anyone ever say Basil? Does she call you Basil? All right, dude, here's what we're going to do. I've got this. What kind of job are you looking for? Interning. Well, we'll talk. But let's see. You asked much of me. You don't understand that. You want me to fix up your love life and your professional career. You guys have no shame.
Hey, Paul! Come here! Come here! Bella La Jolla, come here! Get me a girlfriend and a job! Yeah, and then dance around! Oh, and then this girl's gonna hit you in the head with her head! Here. And guess what? School's not named after you after today. Psych!
All right, I got this.
Question from Jenny. Jenny, who's a freshman, who's undeclared.
What's this?
She's a freshman, she's undeclared, and her question is, what is your favorite song to sing in the shower?
Oh, that Journey song. When the lights go down in the city, by the bay, my city, oh, 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 oh. You know what else I like? That Bon Jovi, I'm a cowboy. Steel horse I ride. What's a way on any steel horse? Freaking motorcycle, call it a motorcycle. There's no one song. I like them all, you know? As long as I'm all lathered up.
All right, another question.
Yes. That creeped everyone out. Everyone's like, this is pretty fun. And then they got to that and they're like, I gotta go. I should really study right now. Yes, how can I help you?
Hi, Conan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm okay. See, Basil, this is how it's done. What's going on, man?
Just watching you.
Yeah. It's a real coincidence, is I'm watching you. Now, in real life, this is usually the part, guys, where I start crying. So don't be fooled. Yes.
Your craziest night in college, but what about life in general? Your craziest night that you can remember.
In life?
Oh. Yeah, maybe I,
there's not one. There's been too much insanity in my career, and it really is like saying to Pavarotti near the end of his life, what was your favorite plate of pasta? Like, you know, there's been so much absolute craziness in some of the things that have happened to me that I just honestly cannot access one of them and say that's the be all and the end all. I've just had a lot of insane experiences. I've kickboxed with Chuck Norris and I taught him a thing or two, that's for sure. No, I've met most of my heroes. I've met just about everybody I wanted to meet. I've had the opportunity to play guitar with Bruce Springsteen and cut an album with Jack White. And you have all these things happen, and you think, okay, that's it. I'm tapped out. I've had more than my... And there's just been a lot of... There's also been stuff that's gone so horribly wrong and gotten so weird in the last couple of years that it's been, in a way, transcendent. I wouldn't change any of it, you know, but... Everything I went through a few years ago and then going out on that tour was one of the best experiences. It was two things. It was a yin-yang symbol. It was a yin-yang symbol of somehow the worst period of my professional career being transmogrified into the best period of my life, you know? And I don't understand it to this day. So I don't even... Yeah, and it was... Whatever it was pure. The good was pure. The bad was pure. It was honest. It was real. And I've always thought that I'm going to probably at some point just have to stop doing this wait 10 years and take a nap and then get up and write it all down, because it's been, and I don't think anyone would believe half of it. It's been so weird. But, you know, it's a lot of you were too young to know this, but back in 1993, when I'm sure people... You were born in 1993? That's funny, because I was going to say I had a child who I lost track of, who I mailed to San Diego. Yes, I see the hair as a giveaway. Father! When I... if you go back a long time, and no one... You can't appreciate it, but... At the time, there wasn't nearly as much television. There were just a couple of... It was four networks at the time. Cable wasn't really around. And there was basically, you know, two shows. There was Johnny Carson, and there was David Letterman. And David Letterman left, announced he was leaving, and there was an opening, and The Tonight Show was taken. So he was like, all right, I'm going to leave and go to CBS. And there was an opening... And there was this search to find somebody to take his place. And if you calculated my odds of getting that beforehand, a computer would have said they're so infinitesimally small it could never happen. Nobody knew who I was. I was not an established performer. I was a writer. It's insanity. And literally 50 things had to go wrong for me to get that job. And then I was in over my head for at least a year. And struggling and having all kinds of problems. So surviving that was miraculous. Do you know what I mean? And now I meet all these young people who've grown up watching me, and I try to explain to them that, you know, I never really even should have had that job in the first place. And they say, what are you talking about? I was in diapers watching you. They're talking about 2 years ago because I have some kind of problem. But they grew up watching me, and so they don't understand that the craziness of me getting that late night job in the first place was unprecedented. And at the time, people were flipping out. And it was really young people that started saying, hey, I like this show. This guy's really weird. He's got to calm down. His hair's a freak show. I don't know. Did he make up that name? His voice sort of sounds like a girl's. What's going on with this guy? And that took a long time to play out, but they liked the show. And so just surviving, I think, was probably the biggest, weirdest miracle of my career. I'm glad my pain brought you pleasure.
So here's a question from Tamara Freeland, who's a senior in communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, communication. I'm teaching that department right now, so I like it. All right. What is one of your most embarrassing childhood memories?
What is it? You people want to see me humiliated.
They want to know about your fear and shame.
I know. My most embarrassing childhood memories.
This is actually therapy. You don't even realize it.
Oh, I realize it. Wow. Most embarrassing childhood memories. Man, there's so many. I think there's nothing worse in the world than when someone says, hey, everybody, look at me. When you say to people, hey, everybody, look at me, it means that you really have your act down. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you have worked out a trick... shot in basketball or pool, or you have a cool thing you can do and you stop a whole bunch of people who are talking and you say, hey, everybody, look at me. It means you know what you're about to do. I had worked out this funny thing I was going to do, and I was in front of all my cousins, and I was about 9 years old, and this is in a place called Watch Hill, Rhode Island, and it was nighttime and it was summer and all my cousins are playing, and I had this funny somersault that I was going to do, and I stopped everybody and I said, hey, everybody, look at me. And started to run to do my somersault and fell into the largest pile of dog shit I've ever seen. And was just my whole chest. Like, this dog was sick. And I fell into it. And I had made everybody stop. And I said, hey, everybody, look at me. And ran and fell. They all saw it happened and laughed. Then they kept laughing and laughing and laughing, all my cousins and my friends that hung out and watched Hill, and then it was time to go home, and my parents put me in the back of the station wagon, and everyone sat in the very front, and I just sat back there, covered in excrement, I haven't thought about that till this night. For that, I thank you. Thank you, UCSD.
I have a question over here. All
right.
Huh?
I made it. All right, how you doing, Tony?
Hey, dude.
Dude, you gotta bring back the beard.
You know, I gotta say, I get conflicting things on the beard.
No.
It's good. Okay, but you know what? For every guy, he's just like, dude, where's the beard? There's someone else who's like, hated that beard. So glad it's gone. So it's very divisive, the beard. I got rid of it eventually because I was sick of the, you know, beard maintenance and beard, like, it's just beard stuff. You find things in your beard. There's certain foods that are off limits. Chili's gone. You can't have chili anymore. No kind of custard. All pies are out. Taffy. I can't have taffy. I had to lose it for myself. I did it. I grew it for myself, and I got rid of it for myself. And you grow up. Yes, that's right. I shaved off my own beard, and I'm proud that I did it.
My question is.
Oh, I thought that was a question.
Nah, come on.
Oh, that was like
that's
a statement.
Compliment.
No, that was kind a compliment.
Of, I don't know.
That was like, what happened to your face? Your face doesn't look right anymore. I liked your face the old way. But anyway, thanks for the compliment.
It wasn't a compliment. But anyway.
That's all right. We're in a,
I know you're a fan.
What are you wearing around your neck?
Well, it's a lace. I got it because I'm awesome. But anyway.
Oh my god.
You missed the first part of the show. You weren't here.
I'm scared. I'm scared for the future of this country. I'm wearing a lei because I'm awesome.
Why else would you wear one? Okay.
Good point.
He knows. All right. So I know you're a family man. Just curious. What is your favorite Disney movie?
I'm a family man.
What is your favorite Disney movie?
My favorite what?
Disney movie.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry. Acoustics, a little bit of a problem.
My bad.
I just wanted to hear you yell angrily, Disney movie.
What is it?
I said Disney movie. Does something sound funny when they're yelled angrily?
Yes.
Disney movie. Which one? Come on. I gotta go. I gotta grow this thing out some more. Favorite Disney movie of all time. Animated or live action?
Animated, of course. Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Come on.
You ever watch Mary Poppins?
Oh, God.
That's got amazing music. Spoonful of sugar, make some medicine, go down. Hello, governor. Chimney sweeps, I love that stuff. Oh, I don't know. What do I know? What's that? Yeah, Nemo. I don't have an answer.
You're not a Nemo guy.
I don't have an answer. I watch Disney movies, but I'm not one of the. I don't have them like tattooed on my back or anything. I'm not putting down your tattoos, but I don't know. I don't know. That looks great. Ariel looks beautiful.
By the way,
I don't. I don't have a favorite. I gotta say, I'm sorry. I can't help you on that one.
It's all good, but you gotta see this shirt.
All right.
It's you. That? Can I bring it up?
Yeah, sure, bring it up. I just want to get a better look at you. Oh, it's me as a barbarian. Oh, yeah, that's a cool shirt. You're not giving this to me, are you? You're not giving this to me. He's like, no.
No, sorry. Okay.
I'll get you later, I promise.
All right,
you've got a lot of confidence.
Okay, Ariel wants to know, who's the funniest person you've had on your show?
I wouldn't say there's one funniest. There's a group of people who are my favorite. Will Ferrell makes me laugh. I cry. And he's like that too in just life. I mean, once I was just taking like a trans... I was taking a flight from New York to L.A. This is a bunch of years ago when he was still on SNL. And we just happened to be sitting next to each other. And we spent the whole flight in character acting like idiots. And we were like turning away food so that we could keep whatever. I don't even remember the stupid bit we were doing, but we were both doing this stupid thing. And so he's absolutely a joy to talk to. He really makes me laugh. So he might be one of my all-time favorites people to talk to, I would say. I'll go with Will Ferrell.
Is there someone else at the mic there? Okay.
People stay far away from the mic before they ask,
I know.
As if they're afraid.
Here's a serious question for you, Gavin.
It's like you're about to sing an acoustic song. Here's one, I think.
Do you like your eggs fried? Or do you like them fertilized?
Well, I'm gonna go with fried. Good God. A strange place. But yet so wondrous. I would say fried. I like a fried egg. There. I took your dirty question and turned it around. Made it very wholesome. Fried, that's how I like it, with wheat toast. Cup of coffee with skim milk. I might have some orange juice with that. There you go. Was there more to that, or that was it?
That's all.
A question from Alvin Portillo, a second-year student who's a computer science major from Norwalk, California. Alvin wants to know, have you ever considered doing an episode dressed as the Flaming Sea?
No. Nothing that would involve seeing contour of body. And that's a superhero that we invented on the show that became animated and actually may become a television show. But no, I wouldn't dress as the Flaming Sea. Uh-oh. Oh, Conando? Yeah, I mean, Conando might come back. Just a mustache. I think there were some legal issues there for a while, but everyone who forbade me to do that got fired. We have time for two more questions.
Okay, so a question here from the microphone.
Hi, my name's Andrew. Shout out to Shayna and my Nana Boys. Question I
couldn't, I could hear none of that.
Shout out to my
Nana. I heard you say, Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka
Nano Boys.
Shayna and the Nano Boys.
My question is, if your life were a movie, who would play the different roles?
If what?
If your life was a movie.
Oh.
Who would play the different roles?
Well, yeah, I'd be played by Tilda Swinton. Andy Richter would play be played by Jack Black, I think. My wife would be played by Angelina Jolie. She may see this tape, and so... You would be played by the guy with the scruffy beard on Flight of the Conchords. That's all I got. I don't know the other people around here that well. The rest of you can play yourselves when the movie's made. This event. You'll be paid nothing.
And the last question, which comes from the box, is from Anthony Mendoza, who is a first-year student, who is actually from here in the general region from San Diego. And he asks, what...
So he made no effort to come here. He just... rolled out of his house and came to college.
That's right.
Interesting.
And Anthony wants to know, what is the most illegal thing you've ever done?
The most, I'm pretty square. I have to say that I'm pretty square. That's a tough question. The most illegal thing I've ever done.
Just reading what was written here.
Well, you could edit on your own. See beforehand. I don't know. Let's see. I'm going to have to think about that. The most illegal thing I've ever done. I don't know. It's probably something really lame. I wish I could make something up that sounds cool. But I stole a Cessna once and took it, flew it, and I have no flying license. But that was, everyone's done that. I poisoned a guy's food once. He died, but we've all done that. It would be something like being alone in my car, driving cross country and no one's around and going like 170 miles an hour just because I wanted to see what it was like. And then realizing that all I have to do is hit a tiny snail in the middle of the road and my Ford Taurus and I would explode. So that's probably it. I hate to say I'm not a badass. I know you guys see the image. You're like, that guy's, kicked some ass in his day, and he's cut some people, and he's had his way with the ladies, and all of that's true, but none of it was illegal. See what I'm saying? It was all in combat situations where the government had pretty much allowed me to do my thing.
Well, thank you so much, Conan.
Do they want one more? Let's just do one more. Let's see. If someone has a good question. No, this guy's wearing a tie. He should. I haven't seen anyone here wearing a tie.
I just came from work.
What?
Sorry.
The provost is wearing a tie.
Who, was he a student? No, administrators don't count. Everyone else is wearing a Hawaiian lei or...
Ryan at UCSD.
Hi, Conan.
Yeah.
So I've been a big fan of yours since you did that Chrissy Alley bit with the...
I don't remember what that was. I swear to God, I do 35 stupid things a night, and I cannot tell you, such a big part of my life is people coming up to me, and this is absolutely true, and saying, oh man, the time that you tackled, you know, Don Rickles, and you both fell in melted cheese, and then you fired that gun in the air, and the walrus died. And I'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. That never happened. That never, ever, ever happened. And then they put in a piece of tape, and it shows all of that happening. So that's my life. I don't remember what that was, but I'm sorry to admit that the thing you liked.
Okay, well, maybe you can still answer my question. In your honest opinion, what would Chrissy Alley do for a Klondike bar?
I thought I was being nice by saying one more question. I saw your tie. I thought this is going to be good. It's going to be about what can you tell us about the future. And then it's Kirstie Alley and a Klondike bar. I can't help you out, pal. I want to end on a high note here.
All right.
I want to elevate this evening. You know, I mean, that woman lost a lot of weight, and I think we should get behind her. Wow, no one cares. Okay. Positive energy, not working with you guys. All right.
Anyway,
thank you. What's that? Someone gave me this bracelet today. Start UCSD. It's a start bracelet. Okay, well, that made you happy and annoyed everyone else. So thank you.
Okay.
I'm your favorite redhead? There aren't that many. That's sad. Why couldn't you say you're my favorite person? You're my favorite guy on television, but you're like, no, you're my favorite sharp cheekboned redhead who was educated on the East Coast. What? Nice. Let me end on a high note here. What's that? Well, that's not the way to do it. Actually, every writer I've hired stood up at the end of a seminar and screamed that question to me. Unintelligibly. And they were immediately hired. Congratulations. That's our process. I hope you liked it. I think my time is up here, but I'm going to leave you with these words. I honestly, besides all the joking and fooling around, it was a real honor to be invited down here. There's nothing I like more in the world than talking to young people who are smart and funny. And so, good luck to all of you. I'm sure you'll see me around LA. And if you do, say hi, because I have many. I actually am one of those people that likes to say hi to people. So when you see me in LA getting out of my gold Bentley with the license plate stud with four D's, wearing my pimp hat, what's that? What part of LA? Do you want the address? We'll talk separately. But anyway, please come up and say hi to me. And my favorite part about this business and about this job is meeting people and making some kind of connection. And then whether it's 5 years from now, 10, 15, 20, you say, I molested you, or I hit you in the head with my head at UCSD. And it's going to mean a lot to me. So thank you very much. Thanks for coming out tonight. See you guys later. Bye, bye, bye.
Marciano Perez.
So did you all have a good time? So thank you very much for attending this special event in celebration of Six College's 10th anniversary. This evening, we not only honor Conan O'Brien, but also the contributions of our Six College student leaders and staff who work tirelessly to make Six and UCSD the best that it can for students. I would like to take a moment to thank the Six College 10th Anniversary Planning Committee for this, who made this event possible. So thank you to Christina Vaughn, Elaine Scott Branson, Katie Dixon, Provost Dan Donahue, Anna Gandolfi, Dr. Liz Lost, Jasmine Wong, Francisco Zamudio, and last but certainly not least, our two student representatives, Emma Kwan and Drew Mandanak. So it's also important that we recognize our very important sponsors and supporters of this event. So Six College would like to thank the UCSD Alumni Office, Six College Student Council, and Six Friends Live for all your contributions to help making this such a wonderful event. So thank you and be safe as you exit the arena.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.